A quick marriage ended the college career before it began, and a quick divorce sent him to Vietnam in time for the Tet Offensive in 68. Neely had heard stories of the great Mal Brown throughout most of his childhood. Before a game Neely's freshman year, Coach Rake stopped by for a quick pep talk. He recounted in great detail how Mal Brown had once rushed for 200 yards in the second half of a conference championship and did so with a broken ankle. Rake loved stories of players who refused to leave the field with broken bones and bleeding flesh and all sorts of gruesome injuries. Years later, Neely would hear that Mal's broken ankle had, more than likely, been a severe sprain. But as the years passed, the legend grew, at least in Rake's memory. The sheriff walked along in front of the bleachers and spoke to the others passing the time. Then he climbed 30 rows and arrived, almost gasping, at Neely's group. He spoke to Paul, then Amos, Silo, Orly, Hubcap, Randy. He knew them all by their first names or nicknames. "Heard you were in town," he said to Neely as they shook hands. "Been a long time." "It has," was all Neely could say. To his recollection, he had never met Mal Brown. He wasn't the sheriff when Neely lived in Messina. Neely knew the legend, but not the man. Didn't matter. They were fraternity brothers. "It's dark, Silo. How come you ain't stealing cars?" Mal said. "Too early. I'm gonna bust your ass, you know that? I got lawyers. Give me a beer, I'm off duty." Silo handed over a beer and Mal slugged it down. "Just left Rake's," he said, smacking his lips as if he hadn't seen liquids in days. "Nothing's changed, just waiting for him to go." The update was received without comment. "Where you been hiding?" Mal asked Neely. "Nowhere." "Don't lie. Nobody's seen you around here in 10 years, maybe longer." "My parents retired to Florida. I had no reason to come back." "This is where you grew up. It's home. Ain't that a reason?" "Maybe for you. Maybe my ass. You got a lot of friends around here. Ain't right to run away." "Drink another beer, Mal," Paul said. Silo quickly passed down another one, and Mal grabbed it. After a minute, he said, "You got kids?" "No." "How's your knee?" "It's ruined." "Sorry." "A long drink? What a cheap shot. You were clearly out of bounds." "I should have stayed in the pocket," Neely said, shifting his weight, wishing he could change the subject. How long would the town of Messina talk about the cheap shot that ruined his career? "Another long drink," then Mal said softly, "Man, you were the greatest." "Let's talk about something else," Neely said. He'd been there for almost 3 hours and was suddenly anxious to leave, though he had no idea where he might be going. 2 hours earlier, there'd been talk of Mona Curry cooking dinner, but that offer had not been pursued. "Okay, what?" "Let's talk about Rake," Neely said. "What was his worst team?" All bottles rose at once as the group contemplated this. Mal spoke first. "He lost 4 games in 76. Miss Lila swears he went into solitary confinement for the winter. Stopped going to mass. Refused to be seen in public. He put the team on a brutal conditioning program. Ran them like dogs all summer. Made them practice 3 times a day in August. When they kicked off in 77, it was a different team. Almost won state." "How could Rake lose 4 games in 1 season? Neely asked. Mal leaned back and rested on the row behind him, took a swig. He was by far the oldest Spartan present, and since he hadn't missed a game in 30 years, he had the floor. "Well, first of all," he said, "the team had absolutely no talent. The price of timber shot up in the summer of 76, and all the loggers quit. You know how they are. Then the quarterback broke his arm, and there was no backup. We played Harrisburg that year and never threw a pass. Makes it tough when they're sending all 11 on every play. It was a disaster." "Harrisburg beat us?" Neely asked in disbelief. "Yep, the only time in the past 41 years. And let me tell you what those dumb sumbitches did. They're leading late in the game, big score, something like 36-0. Worst night in the history of Messina football. So they figure they've turned the corner in their sad little rivalry with us. They decide to run up the score. With a couple of minutes to go, they throw a reverse pass on 3rd and short. Another touchdown. They're really excited, you know. They're sticking it to the Messina Spartans. Ray kept his cool, wrote it down somewhere in blood, and went looking for loggers. Next year, we're playing Harrisburg here. Huge crowd. Angry crowd. We score 7 touchdowns in the first half. I remember that game, Paul said. I was in the first grade. 48-0. 47, Mal said proudly. We scored 4 times in the third quarter, and Rake kept passing. He couldn't sub because he had no bench, but he kept the ball in the air. The final score? Neely asked. 94-0. Still a Messina record. The only time I've ever known Eddie Rake to run up a score. The other group on the north end erupted in laughter as someone finished a story. No doubt about a Rake or some long-ago game. Silo had become very quiet in the presence of the law. And when the moment was right, he said, "Well, I need to be going. Call me, Curry, if you hear something about Rake." "I will." "See y'all tomorrow," Silo said, standing, stretching, reaching for one last bottle. "I need a ride," Hubcap said. "It's that time of the night, huh, Silo?" Mal said. "Time for all good thieves to ease out of the gutter." "I'm laying off for a few days," Silo said, "in honor of Coach Rake." "How touching. I'll just send the night shift boys home then, since you're closing shop. You do that, Mal." Silo, Hubcap, and Amos Kelso lumbered down the bleachers, the metal steps rattling as they descended. "He'll be in prison within 12 months," Mal said as they watched him walk along the track behind the end zone. "Make sure your bank is clean, Curry." "Don't worry." Neely had heard enough. He stood and said, "I'll be running along, too." "I thought you were coming to dinner," Paul said. "I'm not hungry now. How about tomorrow night?" "Mona'll be disappointed." "Tell her to save the leftovers. Good night, Mal, Randy. I'm sure I'll see you soon." The knee was stiff, and as Neely crept down the steps, he tried mightily to do so without a limp, without a hint that he was anything less than what they remembered. On the track, behind the Spartan bench, he turned too quickly, and the knee almost collapsed. It buckled, then wavered, as tiny sharp pains hit in a dozen different spots. Because it happened so often, he knew how to lift it just so and quickly shift all weight to his right leg and keep walking, as if everything was normal.